Thank you very much. Has anybody been to Madagascar? Hands up. No one? Good, I can say whatever I like, can't I? My anything goes involves a life-threatening situation that occurred in November 89. I was living in London, and a friend of mine decided to travel. He wanted to go to America. I'd lived in America, and I wanted to go to India, and he was British Indian. So we threw a dart, and we landed on Madagascar. It's the fifth largest island in the world off the coast of Africa, Mozambique. And we spent 2 weeks in Madagascar. But I want to give you a wee soundbite where something happened in my life where I honestly thought I'd actually just come back to Nelson, marry someone in Richmond and get a quarter acre and a dog and never even hop on a bus and go downtown Nelson. My story involved foreign exchange, a brothel, two nuns, 50 small school children and a machete. So we spent 4 or 5 days. We arrived in Antananarivo, which is the capital of Madagascar. And we should have known as soon as I got off the plane that the only people that got off in Madagascar in those days to count lemurs and various animals was the National Geographic, the BBC and David Attenborough. And none of them were on that plane. I was the only guy that got off. And the plane carried on to Mauritius or somewhere. We were backpacking. And we ended up in a place called Tanatava after 4 or 5 days. Now, Tanatava is on the east coast of Madagascar. Very poor. Average was £90 a year was the income for Madagascar. We stayed at a place which we thought was a backpacker's, ended up being a brothel. We went to another hotel called Hotel Neptune. And the French pulled out in 59, I think. And they hadn't cleaned or hadn't done anything in Madagascar since 59. And the only place we could actually find a place to exchange money was Hotel Neptune. Sanjeev took out £80. I took out £80. The average wage, I was saying, was £80-90 a year. We changed our money. We went out that night, went back to our backpacker stroke brothel. And that's when we found out it was a brothel that night. But it was about £1 a night to stay in a room. And we got up next morning and we realised in Africa you do two things. You exchange money, you check your money, you check your passport, you tip your boots upside down for scorpions or spiders. And we did all that and we realised we only had half the money. So we went back and explained this to the guys at the reception and they weren't too happy. They'd gone home the night before and given all the money away. So we're asking them for a year's wages to come back to us. So they took it out of the till. And as I left the hotel, I said to Sanjeev, I don't feel good. I'm 6'2". You're 5'4". You look like the local people. I don't feel good. We've got to get out of town. And about 5 years earlier, the military had gone in and shot 200 people because they were rioting and doing whatever. So life is cheap. And our staple, as we found out, what we're eating was rice and cat. It was a staple diet we ate for 2 weeks. Cat was okay. The rice was a wee bit suspect, I thought. So we got to get out of town. So we checked into a place about 5 kilometres down the coast. It was like Tohunanui Motor Camp, but no one there. And had these little huts and had a double bed and a shower and it was a concrete wall with a thatched roof. Sure enough, at 5 in the morning, knock, knock, knock. And they'd found me. And they spoke French. And Sonny spoke French. And he said, well, they've ordered a taxi. And I said, no, we haven't ordered a taxi. I don't think we've ordered a taxi, have we? Not at 5 in the morning. Where are we going at 5 in the morning in a taxi, Sanjeev? And he says, why don't you look out the window? And we looked out the window, and there were 4 guys with machetes. And we're thinking, okay, this has gone from, okay, sobering up time to this is quite serious. They said, come out and give us the money. And I looked at Sonny, I said, 2 things. There's no way I'm going out there. And we explained that to them, and they said, if you come out, we'll burn you out. So everything went up against the door and the window. And we said, if you want us, you have to burn us out. They said, not a problem. So we got in our sleeping bags and we hopped in this little shower thing that was on the wall and we turned it on and Sonny got hers and I got mine. I said, I'll see you on the other side. And we covered ourselves up in a little cocoon, tried to wet ourselves down thinking they're going to burn us in. Well, these guys got the machetes and went around the concrete wall. Round and round and round. I'm thinking, what are they going to do? When you're close to the equator, the sun comes up early and goes down early. And it came up fairly quickly and it went really quiet. So we creeped out of our sleeping bags and looked around, no one there. We packed our bags, bugger the scorpions and the spiders, the money, the passports. We packed everything into our backpacks and we found someone who was part of the campsite here and he came towards us. We went up, we paid our pound. It was a pound to stay there. We thought, what do? We've got to get out of here. So we walked out and there, coming around the corner, remember the flying nun with the little things? There was 2 of them with 50 of these little girls coming up the street, off to school. And they had that, look at most people here in the 70s, 60s or 70s, the white shirt with the little, what are they called? The little plimmy, you know, the foldy little gym slip. And these little girls, we thought, safety. So we jumped in amongst these 50 girls with their backpacks and the two nuns and walked into town. And we went to the airport straight away, and there's a Dakota DC-3 from 1944 sitting on the tarmac with goats and sheep and 200 people with 46 seats. And I said to Sonny, I think we need to leave town. He said, well, how should we do this? I said, get out £40 right now. I'll get out £40. And see that guy over there with the ticket? He deserves a year's wages. So we gave him a year's wages, and we were on that plane. And we finally took off, and we got back to Antananarivo. And when anything goes, and I look at life, life is cheap. And what we have in life is an abundance, especially here in Nelson, and with my wife, my friends, my family. And I seriously did think, I'll go back to Richmond in November 1989 and get a wife and a dog and never go anywhere again. Thank you very much. There you go.